Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We're back for a Not a Thing podcast. It's a little later in the week, but it was w with good reason. I mean,
Yes.
not only did we have other things to do, other kind of places to go and stuff. I hope you enjoyed your extra couple days.
I did. I spent it wisely, enjoying music.
Excellent. Excellent. I just drank pretty much.
Oh yeah, there was that too. I mean, those go hand in hand.
I was able to spend kind of a lot of extra time with our guest.
Oh.
Yes, we have a guest this week. Guest, say hello.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Who is that?
That's
Who
a
is this?
familiar voice.
We have heard this voice. You might even say that I know that voice.
Ah, spoilers.
Yes, this is Julie. I've been on twice before, I believe.
Yeah, you're pretty hot shit.
And
Three-peat.
sweet. So I'm on this week partly because it's been a little while, and partly because I've had a major change in what I'm doing at the moment.
Or not doing.
So I switched from my full-time employment, my gainfully employed self, to not being employed by choice. I'm spending some time painting, and that is a dramatically different thing than the type of work I was doing before.
Well, not dramatically different. I mean, you were doing what I consider kind of artistic kind of work. You're taking, I mean, you can say what you were. You were a UX designer, UI designer, experience designer.
Interaction designer. Yes,
Which
there
we
are many
discussed
words
last
for.
time you were on.
Exactly. Yes, so I used to do this, and it's been my job, it's been my career ever since I graduated college, which was many years ago.
Hey,
But
easy. Easy. Not that many.
it's
I'm not saying
interesting.
nothing.
It's interesting in the sense that it does involve design, but it's a lot of problem solving and a lot of collaboration with people. So that this is day two of not working, and I just realized today how much collaboration I was doing and how many people I would see during the course of a day. Probably 3 dozen or four
Wow.
dozen people on any given day. So, and now it's significantly less than
The
that. Pretty much. Yeah, I have my stand-ups with my cats and I find out what they're doing for the day. And
so now that you're a painter, how many Beckettes a day are you eating? What's your cheese content up to?
Oh, there's lots of cheese. Actually, I've got a bit of a rhythm going now where I paint in the morning because I get the best light at that time. So all morning I will paint, and then at some point I realize I should get lunch, so I go get lunch. And sometimes I've painted a little bit after that, but
Sometimes. I like how you say sometimes. There are 2 days that are being used for this sample size. I'm just saying.
there's more than one there. So it's interesting to plan your work around what the day is like, and especially the lighting of the day. I find that makes a difference in what I'm doing painting wise. And I think it's probably good that the morning works best for that, because I think I would just be useless all day if I didn't do something focused in the morning.
Yeah, and you get to like 4 in the afternoon, and it's like, oh, now's the right time to paint. Oh, but it's a cloudy day, so screw it.
Yeah, just in time for the rain to finally arrive months late.
Yep.
So much for outdoor painting for a little bit.
That's okay. I think I do best inside.
Or you could do watercolors.
Well done there. Very well done there. So, not working, that has to be odd. I don't know. I can only compare it to when I was not working. I had this brief 9, 10 month or so period when I was part-time at best and really, really not full-time at worst. And so I was full-time not working. Full-time watching Stargate, actually, kind of.
That's an honorable profession.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of choosing a series that you just go through gradually over time. Mine has been Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, good show.
I never saw the whole thing. I only saw an episode here or there, so I'm rectifying that.
Excellent
Not
choice.
bad. Not bad. So, I mean it must be just like a big vacation for you because I don't know when I was partially employed, I wouldn't ever think I was on vacation. I always felt this kind of pressure to get more work done, get more work done. And so it is kind of the workaholic in me that kind of wins out in that situation, which is bad.
That
Well, I think
seems less good for the soul.
Yeah.
and I think it makes a difference how you're feeling about what you need to do next. If you feel like you need to land something up right away, then that's always an undercurrent. You're always thinking of that. I have some things in mind, and what I find is I'm having to actively not think about it and try not to get into that realm. Because I really just need that kind of mental cleanse. So I find that I'm actively pushing it away. So we'll see how this ends up next week. Like next week is going to be my first full week of this full-time painting thing. And I think I'll get a lot done, but hopefully I'll start getting a read on whether I'd like to do this more or if it drives me crazy.
And a week's not that long.
That's true.
Yeah, do you have you don't have like a time frame for whatever. I mean, we're on record right now, so I don't want to pin you down and say like, "Well, you said it'd only be 2 weeks, and I'm gonna play the podcast, and this is what you said."
Well,
Yeah, for those not familiar, Julie and I actually are kind of married or something. This is
or
stuff.
something. I'm pretty sure married is the most accurate word. You invented your own last name. Come
it kind of matters a little bit, but feel free to speak freely.
on. Well, I definitely want to leave this out of my mind until March.
Oh, wow.
Which makes it slightly longer than a vacation because right now I can tell I'm still in the mode that I've slipped into before when I've had short vacations or when I've been sick for a couple days. I can see the kinds of things that I'm thinking about, like, oh, I could get this thing done at home. Maybe not. Maybe I'll play video games. Like it's very surface level stuff right now. And I think if I give it a little more time, then I can shift into a deeper mode of thinking and understanding what I want to do.
Do you feel like committing time to your art is something that has been neglected? That you like, maybe you feel like it's something that needs to be expressed, or do you feel like any regret of not expressing it as much as you would like?
Definitely. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And I had a couple of projects in progress that I've hopped into immediately. One is a painting that I'm working on of my grandmother. And another is starting into a promised painting or kind of little set of paintings that I offered for other friends of the podcast, Ted and Claire. Those are just my immediate things. I have a couple of things in the back of my mind about a series of paintings that I want to do. And one or two other things. And so it's the kind of thing where I've I've always painted a little bit of something, but I've never stuck with one style long enough to put it together into something that I could have an exhibit on or show. So that's the goal in the back of my head. I'd like to get these paintings done, but it'd be really nice if I could get enough done that I could go show it somewhere.
That's a great goal. Like they always say when you're doing kind of, you know, training or exercise or something, you should have a goal, some kind of like out of your comfort zone thing, right? Like you should, if you're into running for a little bit, you should try and run a marathon, or you should, you know, try and if you're learning to play an instrument, you should try and go to an open mic. I think it's really admirable to have kind of a bigger goal like that, especially something so public.
Thank you. Yeah, it's. I think this is an interesting one in the sense that it has been hard to stay focused on just that, because I'll see these other little artsy things and start getting distracted. And it's silly things. Like, I found this package of sheets that you can print through your inkjet, and they're Shrinky Dinks.
Inkjet Shrinky Dinks?
Yes. Wow. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. That is a thing. Most definitely.
So I bought that today, but I will not open it. I will not use them until I get some of these paintings done.
Well, when you've completed the works of art that you're currently working on, if you're looking for ideas for next projects, I think as a podcast we should commission you to create a work of art of Alan and I like on horses in Napoleonic style like regalia. I think that would be pretty much a thing.
That sounds awesome.
I don't know if that's in your wheelhouse, but
maybe. I was doing some paintings where I took existing things and I painted over them. Like I have these calendars from our local Chinese restaurant, and I'll keep part of it visible and then I'll paint around the rest. So maybe I could find a picture that's already horses or people majestically riding horses, and then I can make you and Alan ride them.
The horses, not the people riding the horses.
Yeah, no.
No. That's a different kind of painting.
Okay, well, we have you on record.
All right, podcast over. We got what we needed.
I mean, I can't do something in Photoshop much faster.
That's true.
Oh, Photoshop, only use your powers for good, please.
Yeah. And it's not the same as a painting.
It's less majestic.
Certainly.
Although it could be really, like, kind of... It'd probably be good in a more computery kind of setting. So, like, if you insert Brennan and me into, like, Tron.
Oh, that would be cool. This, you know, there's things you can think of.
So many projects.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously your projects are the priority.
Well, I think you're right. Having the kind of sense and presence of mind to make a project is probably going to be the big changeover for you, because you've always had some little like background things. I wouldn't say they were, I don't know. It's not a painting. Like you had that notebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I still do that, actually. I have this little book that I carry with me everywhere, and it's small enough that I can keep it in my purse, and I have a brush pen. So when I have a little bit of time, maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, then I'll draw some kind of object, whatever happens to be around me, which usually ends up being something like a coffee cup. But I try not to draw too many coffee cups or chairs.
An overcaffeinated notebook. It's not a good notebook.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about drawing objects is they usually don't move on you. Sometimes they do.
Then you've had too much coffee.
Do you have an example of an object that moved?
Actually, it's less that the object moves and more that someone gets in front of it. And the whole point of drawing objects is not having to interact with people.
I see.
Is there a specific style of art that you would like to work on? Or is there like a skill that you'd like to improve for yourself?
I want a little more practice with acrylic, which is what I'm focusing on right now. But after I get this part done, I'd really like to do more watercolor. I like the look of it, and watercolor is unforgiving. So it's just a different way of working.
How do you mean by unforgiving?
The watercolor is the pigment suspended in water, and water dries. So what can happen is you can paint something and it looks a certain way, and if you look away from it for about a minute while it dries, suddenly the pigment gets to the edge of whatever brush stroke you made and makes it much harder than you intended. It's really frustrating because once it's down there, you can't fix it. It's not like acrylic where you can just layer on paint after paint. Watercolor is all translucent, so you see everything that's happened in there.
It's more deliberate.
Yeah, for me it is.
It's like a crossword puzzle in pen.
You can't just turn it into like a happy tree now.
No. Unless I layer a different medium on top, which I've done before. I've done watercolors with colored pencil on top, and that can correct some things. But it's kind of funny because part of what I'm doing is I'm really actively trying not to do any art on the computer right now, because it creates a lot of bad habits in terms of expectations about mixing colors. And just stupid things. Like, I've been working on paintings before and then mess something up. And immediately my brain goes, undo! And there's no way to do that.
Control Z.
Yeah, no. There's none of that. You have to look at the thing that you did and then figure out, oh crud, what do I do now?
I'm really glad computers don't work that way. That would suck.
And that's now his nose.
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or you buy more canvas, I guess.
The worst mistakes are the ones that happen in the midst of everything else that's going great. Like, the whole thing is looking good, and then you screw up somewhere.
Ooh, well, you have to give an example now.
I'm pretty good at fixing them. You just have to know how to fix it.
So you're not going to lead me around the house and point out the things you've had to fix?
Nope. I mean, I see them every time I look at them. I don't want to point them out.
That's your own personal hell.
Yes.
Well, I think part of probably not a personal hell, but everybody's hell is that story you found about Subway this week.
Yeah,
and it's especially relevant because the Olympics are starting back up, and Subway is a huge sponsor of the Olympics.
Oh yes, they are. More Apollo Ono.
How the mighty have fallen.
Well, what's the deal at Subway? What do we have to know?
So the thing is that when you order a sandwich, you expect your bread to be bread. And Subway's bread is bread, but it's not bread by itself. It has this chemical in it that I'm not sure I can even pronounce. It's azodicarbonamide. If I have that much trouble pronouncing it, you shouldn't be putting it in your body.
You're here.
Because it's not just put in your body, which they do at Subway currently. It's also used for shoe rubber and making yoga mats. So that's yeah. Think about that next time you want to go for that $5 footlong. It's yeah. Not just a $5. I wonder if they call it a $5 footlong because it's used to make shoes, which are also footlong.
By definition,
they are foot long.
Yeah, I think this falls squarely in our not a thing kind of category.
Yeah.
Well, I figured they could make the bread out of anything because they just have that smell that permeates everything. So it's like a flavor. It doesn't even matter what they make it out of.
If you want to hear some good comedy ripping apart Subway, listen to Pete Holmes's album Impregnated with Wonder. He has a great bit about Subway. It's like Subway, where you go to eat when you've given up.
Oh, and it's the middle of February.
Was it January and now it's
Yeah,
February? It's like you can just do that to
that's
any
their thing.
month.
Well, I guess not the R months, right?
What's going to happen in March?
Right.
I don't know. No
And you
sandwiches.
know
No
what?
sandwiches in March.
It's not a thing. We should not be
Yeah,
doing
I shouldn't need to know because
that.
you shouldn't eat there. You have given up on life if you're eating there. And sadly, I do eat there. But that was before I read this story. I knew it was bad. I didn't realize it was that bad.
I guess it's a it must be a preservative or I don't know, texture enhancer? I
Well,
don't
if it's a texture
It could
enhancer, it's
be.
not working.
Well, it might be a filler, similar to how there's wood pulp in the what is that? I don't think they actually call it ice cream. Soft serve.
Wait, wood pulp what now?
So when something's called soft serve, it has, I forget what it is, but it's some type of wood pulp as a thickening agent.
At least trees are natural.
That's true.
It's your ve but now when you eat soft serve, you're getting your vegetables. It's plant matter.
Fiber.
Yeah, I don't. I guess that is better than like shoe leather compound
Shoe rubber.
rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Le
shoe
at
leather
least
is made of
leather's from an
leather.
animal.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't think we have to worry about Subway sponsoring us anytime soon.
Well, it's fine because, I eat paleo, so it's probably for the
Right. Yeah, you don't have to worry
best.
about this.
Well, maybe if someone sponsors us, they'll pay us in bitcoins, which are big now. It's kind of huge and in the news and everything because one of the suggestions to revitalize the post office is to turn them into exchanges for bitcoin.
Gotta exchange it somewhere. That's the problem with Bitcoin. It's like, where are you gonna spend
Right.
it?
Right. And there are a
Not
lot
on
of
Silk Road
exchanges
anymore.
that are online, and they always seem just a little shady.
Well, Bitcoin's gone beyond the niche market of nerds when it's on the article we're looking at is on mainstreet.com.
Yeah, you can't get more Main Street, I guess, than that. It's not even Wall Street. It's like full on. Everyone needs to know about it. I mean, the post office is in trouble. I mean, this is just common knowledge, right? I mean, no one is writing letters anymore. Everyone's sending stuff using Amazon Prime, which uses UPS. So, it's hard for them to get revenue, and no one wants to go there. I mean, every podcast other than ours advertises
Stamps.com.
with stamps.com,
Promo
right?
code WTF.
One day we'll get a promo code, not a thing podcast. It's maybe a little too long, but anyway, yeah. I think the I don't know. What do you think about the post office? We've never really talked about that.
We've never talked about the post office. No way. We do a podcast about cutting edge news, the new exciting technologies, and we haven't talked about the post office? We're even doing this all wrong. When was the last time either of you went to a post office?
Actually, not that long ago, I bought stamps. Yeah.
Did you buy forever stamps?
They were.
Oh, well, then that's a good investment.
Yeah,
Because they just increase in value.
They only go up.
Yeah, they right? only go up in value.
This assumes that I'm using stamps instead of, say, like, you know, like stocks or some other kind of currency.
Well, I mean, forever stamps are like IRL bitcoins.
Maybe that's what they're going to turn bitcoins into.
Stamps?
They're just going to turn them into stamps.
I'd rather have that than Dogecoins.
What is Dogecoin? I just heard about that today.
It's a Bitcoin knockoff with that terrible meme.
I really don't understand that meme. I've seen it. I know what it's comprised of.
That's
I just don't think it's very funny.
That's because you have a fully functional brain.
Yeah, there are at least three that I can think of that are kind of alternative currencies to Bitcoin. Not that Bitcoin is not an alternative currency.
Yeah.
But there's Litecoin was the first one that I heard of. And that one is supposedly the closest to Bitcoin in that it uses the same kind of algorithms and everything. But it changes the way that they're computed because there's more of them. Because the thing with Bitcoin is there's a very limited number. And so that's why the value is very weird. But the Litecoin ones allow for more coins to be generated kind of over time. Blah, 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 blah. There's altcoin, which I don't understand. And then there's the Dogecoin thing, which I definitely don't understand. But they're all kind of cryptography kind of based. So you have some big ass prime number or something, and you multiply them together and you get this other really big number. And then that's used as the basis for everyone trying to figure out, like, do you have money? Do I have money? Can I compute your amount of money based on this big number? Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'll stick with stamps.
I like that too, because stamps are a little more artistic.
Oh, yeah.
Although, it seems like coins have been switching up their art a lot recently.
Especially in Canada. Their money, I don't understand how they know what their money is. It seems like they change it every week.
I thought it was the loon.
Oh, yeah, there's the loon. The loony and the toonie.
Right. The toonie's that one that looks like it has a coin inside a coin.
Yeah.
Well, with the quarters, they went through the state quarters here, and then they started going through, I think, national landmarks or national parks, and then they started mixing up the nickels. I don't know what their method on the nickels are, but I feel like I keep seeing different backs on these.
They must be really bored at the Treasury. They're like, hey, we don't have any real money. Let's make some money.
Well, I saw the pennies. They're bringing back the ones with the little kind of not. What is that?
Like the eagle wings?
Are they? Yes, yes. And it says 1 cent in big letters on the back.
Huh.
More nostalgic propaganda.
Yeah. For pennies. Come on.
Which we should just get rid of anyways. Pennies are not a thing.
They can't switch it up to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, yes.
They just need to zoom out a little and they can show him holding a steak.
No, he had an axe.
Oh, that's right.
The sweet axe-wielding montages in that movie.
He's kind of spinning it in that really cool way, you know?
You know, in the cool way that you spin an axe. And not like a hatchet battle axe type thing, but like just a wood axe.
It's all you need. Vampires are kind of, you know, soft, I guess.
Aren't people soft too?
Wait, vampires are people. Just, you know, expired.
They were people.
Yeah.
As, you know, not to be confused with were people. or wolves rather.
There's different types of werepeople. You have a werebear.
Werepanthers.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, God.
Thank you, True Blood.
No, I will not thank True Blood for that. That was terrible.
Yeah, someone was definitely high or drunk or both.
Maybe they were from South Korea.
Maybe. So there was some kind of survey that came out which showed the relative kind of liquor consumption in different countries.
Hard liquor.
Yeah, hard liquor. And so not beer, just straight up liquor. And South Korea, very surprisingly to me, was absolutely number one on the list. And number two was Russia, if I'm remembering
right.
That's
correct.
And the ratio was almost 2-1.
Yeah, I believe it was South Korea averages 13.7 shots of spirits a week. And Russia's like 6.3. And then the Philippines gets the bronze. 5.4.
Yep, five point something, yeah.
USA slacking. We're second tier. We're only at 3.
Well, I guess if you had an aggravated nuclear neighbor next to you, you might drink That's more. True.
It's only fair, I guess. But yeah, that's the average. 13.
That's 10 more a week than America. And
I'm trying to do my part, really.
And of that 10 or of that 13 point whatever shots a week, 97% of it is soju, which is a fermented rice spirit, which my friend came back from South Korea over Christmas and brought some, and it is terrible.
You think it's just like a dare?
It's like sake vodka.
Like everyone is daring everyone to drink this thing, and that's how they get it to 13?
I mean, I'm glad I tried it, to try it, but I'm not going to seek it out.
There was that one sushi place where they advertise it, and it's on all the tables, and it's like, get a soju martini, or a soju Manhattan, or a... They're essentially just replacing any liquor with soju. And the article said that there was... It's very heavily consumed in Korea. Yes, it's that 13, but it's also like the highest selling hard liquor by far.
97% of the liquor is that liquor.
Wow.
I feel like in America we have a nice balance of whiskeys and vodkas and gins and rum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite nice. You know, I think you want like that variety. I don't know if you'd want just that one spirit like all the time.
But that could be because of the makeup of the country. I mean, South Korea is full of South Koreans. America is full of everybody.
Plus the North Korea thing. That's a really good point, Julie. I mean, if Canada were, really uppity, maybe we'd all drink a lot of whiskey.
Canadian whiskey.
Oh, maybe not then. Huh? Tequila?
Bourbon.
That's America.
Yeah, bourbon. Good call. Well, what, what have you been drinking recently? I was joking with Julie, what's the plan for today? And the top three kinds of things that came to mind were painting, day drinking, and video games.
That sounds awesome.
More precisely, video games.
wait, what now?
So how's it going? How's the agenda been?
I'm a little behind on the video games.
Yeah. How about the day drinking?
Well, I had some red wine with dinner, so I'll count that for today. But we were in a Diablo 3 rut, and I broke free of that, and I had been playing Assassin's Creed Liberation, the HD version, because we don't have a Vita, so they just released this version.
They're not a thing.
Vitas are not a thing?
I mean, they're okay, I guess. I don't know. They sounded really gimmicky. They have a touchpad on the back of it, and you can only download games. There's no physical media at all. So you have to download them. I guess you can download them on your own, but it seemed like you could also download them through your PS3 or PS4 or whatever thing you have now. I don't know.
Well, there is a new Walking Dead from Telltale Games out. Season 2 is out.
Oh,
wait. Oh, well, it is?
No. First episode. We have for the first episode. We already played through it.
Oh, okay. It's just the first episode of season
yes.
2.
Yeah.
I saw
our eyes light up. I'm like, episode 2's out. Let's go get it right now.
Why are we recording a podcast?
It's brutal.
Yeah, have you played it?
Yes. I played it in one sitting. I was like, Oh, let me just start episode 2. Oh, man.
And the worst part is they have another game running right now that's also episode-based. It's the one that's kind of Fables-based, if you know that comic book. So they're doing a thing with the Big Bad Wolf. So it's called A Wolf Among Us.
Oh, yeah.
And they're only one episode in. So I think they're going to be trading off, like doing one episode of Walking Dead and one episode of that.
Well, they should just do all the games because I love their games.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Oh, so speaking of Walking Dead, that comes back this weekend.
It does.
Woohoo!
I just need to catch up on the last 6 episodes.
Didn't your mother binge watch, like, all of them?
Yeah, around New Year's. And she said it was a pretty bleak view of humanity.
Yeah, I would expect so. You gotta stretch out the bummer. That's too much concentrated bummer in one place.
Yep. Oh, and if you're 6 episodes behind, I will not make the reference I was just about to make.
I've already been spoiled.
Oh, no.
But we don't need to spoil it for anyone else. We're not in spoiler territory yet. Exactly. Although we could head there. We know the way.
Well, we could be there right now. I mean, didn't we all watch something this weekend?
We did.
Or recently, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it first, but whatever.
That's a good point. You watched it before all of us, so it was before it was cool.
Yeah, I'm an early adopter.
You're a video hipster?
Yeah. No, because I share the wealth. I saw a cool thing. I said, hey, you should watch this thing.
You did, and we talked about it on the last show, and we are talking about watching it now. So we watched I Know That Voice, which is why I made that joke at the top of the show.
Full circle. That's professionalism. That's called foreshadowing, people.
I think it's less professional when we point it out.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
We're just so proud of it. It's so good. So the documentary was produced by John DiMaggio and one other person, right?
As far as I know, it was John DiMaggio.
Okay.
Well, he gets the credit.
John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender or Jake.
And Aquaman, too, right?
Really?
Did he do Aquaman?
I think he may have.
It's not impossible. He does a lot of voices.
I actually, after watching that documentary and seeing the Futurama performed live, I was shown a video by a friend, friend of the podcast, of different voice actors who are all famous voice actors, like Maurice LaMarche and John DiMaggio, Billy West, a bunch of different people. And they were doing a reading of Star Wars in their character voices and switching it up to different voices every scene.
Yeah, they've apparently done that at Comic-Con for like the last 3 years.
It's so good. Christopher Walken R2-D2 is pretty great. Calculon as Tarkin. It's pretty great.
Well, I think from the video, I was pretty excited to see Jim Cummings. So I watched a lot of Darkwing Duck, and I got really attuned to his voice. And it would be that we'd be watching other things, and I'd be like, "Oh, that's Jim Cummings," and Alan would say, "What? What?" And then we'd look at the credits afterwards, like, "Oh, yeah."
But it'd be like a bit part.
I
Like,
can't unhear it.
there was that one like guard in
In
Aladdin.
Aladdin. Yeah.
Like, he's like guard number two or something like that. And I'm like, Jim Cummings, okay,
You
sure.
really know that voice.
Yep.
But it was nice to
It's
see,
a
people who aren't really literally not recognized,
right.
getting to see what they look like and their perspective on their business.
Yeah, and I thought they made a good point there where that's a really nice combination because they can still go out in public. They don't get swarmed, but they can just bring out the voice when they want to.
And if they do want to get swarmed, they can go to places,
Like Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. And I think there are other there are plenty of events that would be but voice actors would be welcome at. I mean, there's just voiceover stuff in everything, and so it's really genre spanning. I think what they didn't really talk about much was the non-character voice acting. So they didn't really talk about commercial voice acting, which is what I tried to get into, at least at some point. I took classes that were mostly focused in that kind of voice acting, where you do stuff like, here's this, just the commercial copy that you hear on radio or whatever, or even on TV, right? The background voice over like Bank of America, which is now famously Kiefer
Yeah, Jack
Sutherland.
Bauer. Which,
That stresses me
speaking
out so much.
it makes me happy to have Bank of America. And
I worry something terrible is going
there's a mole.
where's the certificate of deposit?
The cashier is a mole. Which, as terrible as the Super Bowl was this year,
And it was pretty
the
terrible.
promo for the new 24 looked pretty cool.
True.
It definitely got the biggest reaction from any of the things that we were watching that day.
That one or the Radio Shack ad.
I like that one.
With the 80s called, they want their store back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is not the first time Radio Shack has tried
No,
to
it's not.
reinvent themselves. Like they tried to go with the Shack,
Ah, that's right.
which doesn't sound
Unless
good.
it's preceded by shake, then no.
I don't know. You went to Radio Shack this week, right?
Yeah, I needed a new power supply for my Livio. That's a radio.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
I realized as soon as I said that I had to qualify
podcast appreciates that.
Yes, your husband appreciates it very much.
Actually, it's an interesting radio because it streams internet radio stations and Pandora. So it's kind of nice to have a physical device you just carry around. It's like, hey, I'm over here, just plug it in. Except the power supply didn't work.
Did you feel depressed going into Radio Shack?
No, I had a mission. And so I went right up to the counter and I said, I need this thing and this thing. And the guy working at the counter said, I'm so glad you know what you need.
So
Yeah,
that's See, I think that's a great idea, except every time I've gone to Radio Shack on a mission, they never have what I need.
Oh no.
Like this.
Well, I think we had the upside because I did look up the part numbers, and then I went to the website to see if I could do in-store pickup, and then they had them in stock. So we did the research ahead of time.
As someone who used to work in retail, research before shopping is a thing. You can do that. You don't have to walk into a store like a babe out of the woods.
How you power this, you mean?
Just want TV.
Was there anyone in the store when you went in?
Two people. They were both behind the counter, though.
Oh, so no
Okay. Oh, but
customers.
so they were, yeah.
No customers.
Yeah, those are the best when you hear when the customers are there, because it's like you get to hear the tail end of whatever that conversation is before they finally just fine, I'll just buy it. I'll just buy this one.
That is a common conversation.
Keen. Well, I think we should let Julie get back to her non-working for a little while, for a little bit longer anyway.
I was back to artwork.
Well, we should check in with you and see how it's going.
Yeah, I will be getting the stuff posted on my blog at some point.
And what's the name of that blog?
It is on the creatively named juliemeridian.com.
Aha!
What happened to that other blog that you were talking about last time?
It's still around. So that one is Make It Legit. And I have some good stuff written up there. And I might republish it somewhere else. I'm debating. We'll see. We'll see.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yep. I've suddenly learned the power of syndication.
Residuals.
In this case, though, it's just residual attention. There is no money here.
Oh, we're very familiar with that,
Happy for the attention.
well, a year and a half into an entirely money-losing endeavor called a podcast, we know what's up.
So how long before you start your art podcast?
That's
Artcast?
podcast? No, this is gonna be Pardo.
Pardcast? No, that already
Yeah, the
exists.
podcast, the podcastathon. That's Jimmy Pardo's festival.
Never not funny.
Nice. I think I just have to do more art first, because I realize getting into this and thinking about the stuff around it, you really need the body of work first. You can't plan all around it and not have paintings or art.
I do understand that when we first started the podcast, I didn't want to tell too many people about it because it was like, oh, yeah, we have four episodes. You can listen to them and you'll be done. Now that we're nearing 100, I'm much more confident saying, oh, yeah, there's episodes you can listen to.
Yeah, you have like almost 2 days of episodes you'd have to listen to.
Yeah, we don't recommend doing that, though. You may start bleeding from your ears and eyes.
Garen's sweet theme song would just like be reverberating in your head.
Well, once one ends, then the next one, we need to set up the Netflix style system where it's like the next episode starts to play if you don't do anything. So that's how you end up killing a whole afternoon watching, like, oh, I watched half a season of this show.
Well, maybe we should figure out what the limit. Maybe just like three, two, something like that. You don't want to listen to too many in a row.
Yeah, too much of a good thing.
Excellent. Well, Julie, I will see you really, really soon. And
Open your
Brennan, we'll
eyes,
actually
Alan.
see.
She's right there. Now, you're stealing my line is, I will see you two soon. Tomorrow.
Indeed. Yay, Sketchfest.
Definitely a thing.
Right on. Well, I will talk to you later, Brendan.
Until next time, Alan and Julie.